the fingers on the mother. So the Shach says that's not a proof of anything. The Gemara there in Sukkah is talking about Huktan Mitzvah. Huktan Mitzvah depends on the Kavanas HaGavra. When I designate this as Hadassin and this as an Esro, so my intention is to be Matche this item from its Ike Hishtamshes. It's a Haktzom Midah. So by Esro, my Haktzom Midah is only on the Achila. And by Hadassin, my Haktzom Midah is on the Reach because it's on the Lahariach. But what does it got to do with the real Issa? If you're talking about a real Issa, no, a chometz v'pesach is also mano. What's the difference that the chometz is not oimid, the chometz is oimid l'achila, it's not oimid l'ariach? So what? But still, bottom line, when you smell, you get ano. So that's a machleik, is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this chilek from the Balei HaTosfos, from the Mordechai, from the Balei HaTosfos. Whatever, the thing is not oimid l'ariach, it's not a violation of Issuri Hanot to smell it. And the Shach disagrees. He doesn't agree with these Balei HaTosfos. The Shach disagrees with the Balei HaTosfos. There are Rishonim say like the Shach, but he doesn't quote them.
That's an Eretz Yisrael, so a different case also. They started cooking, they were Jews, and they were cooking. Is that considered a problem?
If you walk to shul and you pass by the bakery, if you walk to the basement, you pass by the bakery, you're not really interested. You didn't walk there specifically in order to smell it. You live in the neighborhood. You're walking to shul. That's the way you walk. So then the Gemara has a whole sugi that's called E Epshav Aloy Kamechave. I didn't go out of my way in order to smell the chametz. That's my normal activity is I walk from my home to the shul. Memela, I smell. The Chameid said that's not called a violation of Isir Hano. You have to have a Maisa Hamahana. And there is lacking a Maisa Hamahana. That's called Hano de Menelo. But the Shaila is if I'm going to walk, normally I would walk on this side of the street. The reason why I walk on the other side is because I want to smell the Chameid. So then it says Shulchan Aruch that that's a violation of Isir Hano. So that's what the Acharonim point out, that it's not so fast. It really should depend on this Machlokes to Shulchan Aruch and the Shach, the Simon Kufches, in Yerideya. Well, there's something which is not Oymed L'Hariach, do you say that the smelling it constitutes an Issa Hano or not? Yeah, that's, see, from the fact that Rabbi Shlomo Levi puts together Reach with Kol Amara, it sounds like there is a case where Reach is Muta, not only because Lacha Shetala Timrasa Eim L'Chodom Shenatz Mitzos and Balabah. Sounds like sometimes it's called Eim Bo Mamish. So that, it sounds from the Gemara like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Balei HaTosfos, yeah. So that's a Shaila and Din, how we Paskal. Somebody from the neighborhood had a Shaila, he used to work for Grunewald's. So his job was to get waters. So whoever is going to have a Bar Mitzvah, Shevet Brachas or something, so he would approach them and ask them if they want to order cakes or cookies from Grunewald's. So he wanted to know, is he allowed to, and he gets a commission. He gets a certain percentage commission from any sale that he makes for Grunewald. So he had a shayla, is he allowed to make a sale on Chol HaMoed? Chometz and Zosmano is getting hana from chametz. The pashtus is that he's not getting hana from the chametz. We hope they didn't bake the cookies yet. The bar mitzvah is going to be next Pesach. Bar mitzvah is going to be next year. Another year from now. But I convinced the people that they should place an order now. They should buy chametz in the future. So there is no chametz now. Chametz zasavano means if there's actually a piece of chametz, that's also bachila, so it's also bachno also. But if the chametz doesn't exist, the chametz doesn't exist now. He's just placing an order, and then in another 6 months, he's going to have a bar mitzvah, shevet brachas, then they're going to make the chametz for him. But that's not called getting hanor from the chametz. The pashtus is that a certain mutter.
Can you drive a delivery truck for a month?
The Gemara says you're not allowed to. Right, the Gemara says in the first daf in the last parak in Avodah Zarah that if a person drives a delivery truck to deliver basa b'cholav, orlok, b'yakerem, or stam yenom, anything that's osaman on, he's salaried not to drive an empty truck, he's salaried to drive the truck and deliver the goods that are osaman on. That's called getting hano from Misuri hano. Shaila is that they used to pay the Chever Kadisha for doing the tara on the mace and for driving the Hearst, driving the mace, they wouldn't pay him if he drives an empty car, they pay him for driving the mace to the cemetery. So the minhag always was that they did pay them. That's why Rabbi Kivega and Nachsam Sefer have tshuvas. Why is that permissible? Why don't I say that should be the same as driving a delivery truck to deliver the bas v'cholov or the stam yenam that's considered getting hanor from Yisrael hanor? Let's say someone is a waiter in a restaurant and they sell bas v'cholov. So if they sell nevelos and nevelos mutaba hanor, so I'm getting hanor from delivering nevelos. But if they sell stam yenam, I'm delivering stam yenam and I'm delivering bas v'cholov, so then the waiter is not going to get salaried for that because he's getting hanor from Yisrael hanor. That'll be a problem. So to get hanor from Yisrael hanor. The Pashto says that is there, I see, yeah. They quote, there is a Shita Lanoda Lami on Kiddush in the end of the second parak, suggests that it's only the Rabbanim. If you have Yisrael hanor and you sell it and get paid money, so that's only a violation of the Rabbanim. But the Gemara learns that whenever Rabbi Bo is Shita, whenever it says in Yisrael Achil in the Torah, Komak Mishanem lo yochel lo sochel lo sochlu, Echad Yisrael Achil lo Echad Yisrael hanor, by the veil it says, you're allowed to sell it to a guy and get paid money for it, so you see that the veil is mutabano. So all other bisuri achila are also bano. So where do you see the pasuk that the veil is mutabano? Because it says that you can charge money for it. So don't you see that charging money to sell isuri hano is a violation of isuri hano in the Torah? Otherwise, how did the Gemara prove the point? That all these Siri Achila are Rosh Manoah, unless it says Beferis that it's Mutta. Where does it say by Nevela that it's Mutta? It doesn't say. It says if you sell it, you can get money. If you say that that's only an Issa de Rabbanah. So the Pashtus in the Gemara is that selling Issiri HaNoah and getting money for it constitutes a violation thereof. That Shita Lelodalami says no, selling it and getting money is only an Issa HaNoah de Rabbanah. Issa HaNoah thereof is if you apply it on your body. Take chelat shaniskov v'nicha gabi makasai. That's called getting hanor. What was the Gemara's proof from the pasuk? So he said the proof was from the verb. The Chumash uses the verb. Titnena lagera shemeshacha titnena b'achol amochol anachmi. Says titnena omochor. And if it were yisuri hanor, the kinyan wouldn't be chal. So the fact that the Chumash uses the verb titnena omochor, that's the right that is mutabano. But not from the fact that you're selling it to the goy and you're getting paid money for that. That per se is not a violation of Yisrei HaNom and Atar. That's only a violation of the Rabban. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. We assume that to sell Yisrei HaNom to get paid money is an Issa Derais, and to drive the truck and to get paid is also an Issa HaNom Derais.
I want to the Rabban on Pesach.
Yeah. The Gemara says, "Shnei dvar men mishusa shalad masan hakasukil hay mishusa." Chametz mishay shalos alamayla is really also b'ano. So you really should be impossible to ever violate by your by matzah, because since it's also b'ano, so it's any mishusa or any shali, either one or the other. So how can you violate the dim of by your by matzah? So the Gemara answers, "Asan hakasukil hay mishusa." The Torah declares it. Even on Didi Mamanis, it's not considered Mishusa, it's not considered Shalom, but with respect to the Isser Rabbi Masa, the Torah Asan HaKasu Kilehem Mishusa. So that's what the Bishayim say. And the Rambam, HaKayna Chavitz B'Pesach, Asan HaKasu Kilehem Mishusa. The Torah says, B'negeh to Bali Rabbi Masa, we always consider it, B'negeh to the Isser, as if it were Shalom, even though it, strictly speaking, isn't fully Shalom. It's either Ein Shalom or Ein Mishusa. But we say we're not allowed to. Yeah, the dinner, let's say a woman is a nurse in a hospital, so the nurse has a lot of jobs, and she's salaried for it. My daughter's a nurse, so she gets salaried. Part of what she gets salaried for is to take care of the patients medically, and part of what she gets salaried is to give the food to the patients. So she always gives chametz. Let's say all the patients are not Jewish, because you only want to give chametz, and she's getting paid for delivering chametz, so part of the salary is for delivering chametz. That's the Yisrei HaNoah. You're not allowed to get salaried for doing Yisrei HaNoah. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi, even to feed a behemoth hefker is also, because it says it's a separate Issa. To feed chametz to behemoth hefker is also also. So that's a shayla. That's the shayla. This Issa that Yerushalmi has, the Achreinim have a machlekes on that sif in Shulchan Aruch. Does this prohibition apply to all Yisrei HaNoah? That you're not allowed to feed any Yisrei HaNoah, even to behemoth hefker? Let's say I have some bas v'cholov by mistake. I cook bas v'cholov. Instead of throwing it in the garbage, I feed it to the animals in the zoo, if they allow you to. I feed it to Behemoth Sefka. So I'm not gaining anything out of this. They're not giving me a tip because no one's paying me money because I feed it to the animals in the zoo. So this din that it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi that it's forbidden to feed chametz to Behemoth Sefka, is that a local din only in Hilchas Chametz, or is that a din in all Yisuri Hanor? Feeding to Behemoth Sefka is considered a form of getting Hanor. But that's a machlekes in Achrayim. Speaking of the animals, chametz is different from kol ha-tarakula. People make a mistake, they don't realize. By all macholos asuris, the din is once it becomes nifsa machilos adam, it's mutter. You don't have to have nifsa machilos hakelim. It's not enough in that pasuk. L'ager v'sher v'sherechav titan v'achol ha-machol ha-nachri. If you have an avela, what should you do with it? So it says in the Torah, you should sell it to a non-Jew or give it as a gift to a ger toshav. A ger toshav, if he's poor, is a mitzvah l'achiyosa. It's a mitzvah to give tzedakah to the ger toshav. That's why the Rishonim and the Achranim all have a kasha. We learned in Gittin in the first paragraph, there's a discussion, is there a mitzvah to give tzedakah to an Eved Kenayni on it? There's inside a contradiction between two Gemaras. One Gemara seems to say there is a mitzvah to give tzedakah to Eved Kenayni. One Gemara says no mitzvah to give tzedakah. That's the question. How can you say there's no mitzvah to give tzedakah to an Eved Kenayni? An Eved Kenayni is mo betoval. The shame Eved is chayv mitzvah kishim. There's a mitzvah to give tzedakah to a ger toshav. I mean, an Eved Kenayni is a lower madrega than a ger toshav. The Gemara says a mitzvah l'hachiyosa. It's a mitzvah to give tzedakah to the ger toshav. So the Gemara comments on that pasuk in Avodah Zarah. Daf Samach Ches. L'ger v'shav shechet tibnet v'achola nevela haruya l'ger krui nevela. Nevela she'ene v'ruya l'ger, ene krui nevela. If you have macholos asuris, non-kosher food, and nifsal me'achil asadam, so the din is that it's mutam and atar b'achila. And there's even a machlekes rishayna whether there's an isa derabbanan or not. So we pasken in the second chelik yeredeya, like the Rosh, who disagrees with the Ramban. The Rosh says in midirabbanan, you're not allowed to eat the nevela, which is nifsa machila sodom, because the fact that you sit and you eat it, so you demonstrate achshava, you demonstrate that as far as you're concerned, it was never nifsa machila. Nifsa machila depends on Adam Beinani. It doesn't depend on each and every individual person. Since the average person, the Adam Beinani, would consider this putrid, whatever he would consider this awful tasting, not roi lachila, so the din is that it's mutam and atur. But since I personally am eating it, I'm sitting and eating it, achshavei, so I demonstrate that as far as I'm concerned, it's not called nifsa machila sod. So that's the yisad the Rabban, based on achshavei. The Ramban holds even with the Rabban and it's mutam. There's no problem. So that din, that nifsa machilos adam is muta, doesn't apply to Pesach. And Pesach, we assume, has to be nifsa machilos hakelim. Why? Who came up? The Gemara has that. Where did the Gemara get it from? So the Prima Gaudim in the Psicha to Hilchas Pesach points out that there's a major machlokes harishayim. So the Pashtus is that it's learned out from the Pasuk Sa'or. It says ki chasar v'chol dvash. No, ki lo yirah lecha chametz lo yirah lecha sor. Sor and dvash is by karbanos. It says lo yirah lecha chametz lo yirah lecha sor. So what is sor? When you mix flour with water, and the microorganisms gather there, and they start eating it up. And when they keep on eating up the dough, they keep on reproducing. So you're going to be left with no dough anymore. You're just going to be left with these microorganisms that keep on multiplying. I have a million, trillion, zillions of them. So the Gemara in Beitza, in the first pair of quotes of Tosefta in Beitza, that the Seor is not really Roi L'Achila. It tastes awful. So why is it Taka Oser? Whenever you have Maholos HaSuris that are not Roi L'Achila, they're Muta B'Achila. So the answer given by the Tosefta is Roi L'Chametz by Isis Acheris. Since the Seor normally, what is it aim it for? I take this raw dough, I save all the little bit for next time, I'm going to make the next batch of dough. I save this as the yeast to serve as a catalyst that the next time the dough should rise well. So whenever you have non-kosher food, here it happens to be chametz. Whenever you have non-kosher food, which is nifsa ma'achila, but it's an ingredient that's oimik that you mixed into another food, right? L'chametz b'yisacheros. So by virtue of the fact that it's serving, it's oimik to serve as an ingredient in a food, so that makes it that it's called roi l'achila. So the Pashtus is, that if you have chametz, which is nifsa machilas adam, So it should also be mutter. The only time it'll be osir is if it's still roi lachamis ba'isa acheres, and then you would require nifsim achilas akelev. Then you would require nifsim achilas akelev. But let's say you have some chametz that's nifsim achilas adam, and it's not an ingredient. It's spoiled. A behemoth would eat it, fine. But a human being wouldn't eat it. And it's not doimid lachametz ba'isa acheres. It's not going to be an ingredient. Have a loaf of bread. That's all spoiled. It's all off Hashimov. And it has, what do you call it? The green stuff that grows on moldy. A dog would eat it. It's roi lachilas akelev. But it's not roi lachamis b'yis acheros. It's not like raw dough, yeast, which they used to save in the days of Tanakh. They used to save it to mix it into the next batch of dough. A moldy piece of bread, moldy loaf of bread, is going to be thrown in the garbage. So the Pashto says it's not roi lachilas adam. And the only time you need that it should be nifsa machilas akelev if it's roi lachamis b'yis acheres, if it's an ingredient, but it's not oimit to serve as an ingredient, then the Pashto says you don't need nifsa machilas akelev. That's what the Chazanish writes halacha l'maisa. Others disagree. In the Rishonim it's a machlokes. So other Rishonim disagree. The Ravid writes on the side of the Rambam that Sa'or is not only not roi lachilas adam, it's not even roi lachilas akelev. And still it's awesome. Why? Because Roi Lacham is Ba'isa Acheras. So according to the Ravid, you can't say this pshat. So according to the Ravid, the Pasuk of Sa'or is Megale, that by Chometz you need Nifsim Achilas Akelev. But what the Gemara said has something to do with Roi Lacham is Ba'isa Acheras. That's the problem. How did the Rebbe deal with that line in the Gemara? That's problematic. There's a big machlekes in the Chavos Das in Yerideh, Simen Kuf Gimel, I think. Kuf Beis or Kuf Gimel, the Simen about Nois and Tam Lev Gam. When you say, if you have a bread that's rotten and moldy, or you have a ham that you left that out of the refrigerator for a month and it became spoiled, so in those two cases where the bread became moldy and the ham became spoiled, it's hisriach ne'elov. What if you have non-kosher food and you mix in ingredients, you mix in some chemicals that are poigemet, now I made it inedible. Is that also called nifsa machilas ha'odom or nifsa machilas ha'kelev? Well, you say it's only called nifsa if it's hisriach ne'elov. So that's a chiddush that the Chavos Das writes. He has a difficulty on the Rambam. Why the Rambam writes two different dinim? One dinim shalok ederach achilasa is mutam and atorah. Some the Rambam another dinim nusim achilasa adam is mutam and atorah. Why does he write two different dinim? Isn't it the same din? So he explains that the two different dinims. In the middle of his explanation, he assumes that the only time you have a dinim nifsal me achilasa adam and nifsim achilasa hakelah by Pesach is if it's hisriach lihivish me'elov. But if you mixed in chemicals and you caused it to be masriach, so that's not called nifsim achilah. So that's why many are machmer on all the toiletries and different things and perfumes and things. Anything that has chametz, it's nifsim achilas akelev. So many are machmer. It only has the status of nifsim achilas akelev if it's isriach me'elov. But if because a person mixed in some chemicals and he made it nifsim achilah, so the Chavos Das holds that doesn't count. The Pashtus is not like that line in the Chavos Das. We accept other things the Chavos Das says there, but that point in the Chavos Das is generally not accepted. Rav Leishik certainly didn't assume like that. Rav Moshe, the Chazanish, they all assume not like that Chavos Das.
I think Rav Moshe says though that he saw in Europe that people still drank the Shachar and drank the turpentine Shachar.
Yeah. Pashtus is that that's Amy Vin Ryman Ashaker. The Pashtus is that you judge by another Bainim, an average person. You'll always have some person who Bishas HaKak will eat something. There's even a question, let's say, as follows. Let's say I have some food item that's Nevela and it tastes awful. It tastes awful to an adult who would want to eat it. But this awful tasting food is not intended, they prepare it. And they sell it for babies who have some kind of a medical condition. And as far as the babies are concerned, the babies haven't yet developed the taste bud. So they can't taste the fact that it tastes awful. So the thing is never eaten by adults, it's only eaten by babies, and the babies don't discern that it tastes awful. As far as they're concerned, nothing has any flavor. So that's a shayla, is that called nefs machilo sodom? So I thought it should depend on other beinani. I didn't think it should depend on the average customer for whom the food is intended. I thought it should be the only customer it's intended for are babies, and babies do not consider it nifsa machila. But I thought we disregard the fact that it's intended for babies. I thought nifsa machila is determined by the average Adam Beinani in the world. So I thought Adam Beinani would get sick if he would eat this thing.
That we find on Shabbos, Abu Bush,
could be. I don't know. I thought it should depend on an autumn day today. In Germany and Hungary, many had a minhag on Pesach not to eat chicken. They would only eat flesh. The reason being, because they used to feed the chickens, years ago, they used to feed the chickens with chametz. They used to mix kernels of grains with water and leave it in the tray where they ate from. And then a lot of times when you would check the chicken, you would find kernels of grain that were not yet digested inside the belly of the chicken. So sometimes they would cook the chickens, and they only afterwards, after cooking the whole chicken, then they would discover chitim of ushelis inside the oif, and then there would be an esek shayla of chametz. Maybe it was bali dechimetz. So this was a pretty widespread minhag in different countries, b'miyuchad in Germany and in Hungary, not to eat chicken years ago, the whole duration of Pesach. Yeah, shayla is that bizman is that nobody feeds the animals chitim. They don't feed wheat because it's much too expensive. So now the common practice is that everybody feeds them maize, corn on the cob. Corn on the cob is just an issue of kidneys. That's not going to aser b'mashu. That's not going to cause any problems. So the shayla is whether that minig is still obligatory or not. Those who come from such a background that their grandparents didn't eat chicken on Pesach, whether that minig is still binding or not. So the pashtus is that Dovish Ben Minyan, Tzav Minyan Achal Atira, doesn't apply to Minhogim. It only applies to Din Derabbanan. That's what Rabbi Chaim Moshe has in his last Tshuva, Nachiezer. He's not talking about chicken on Pesach, he's talking about other Minhogim. So he says, whenever you have a minig that was instituted for a certain reason, so then if you live in a generation where the whole reason doesn't apply, so then the Pashtus says the whole minig doesn't apply. We spoke a little bit about kidneys, that the Ashkenazim have a meaning that we don't eat kidneys. But nonetheless, the din is that kidneys is batel beroi. If it's the Ramah right, you don't eat shishim. As long as it's less than 50%, so the din is that it becomes batel beroi. What if I have a pot that I cook kidneys in? So, and now I'm going to cook some vegetable soup in the same pot. And it's a ben yomo. I just cooked the kidney. The idea is that kidneys is mutar b'hanor, and it's not bal yirah b'imatz. It's just that it's also b'achila. You should. The meaning is that you don't need it on Pesach, but there's no dinner bal yirah b'imatz. So let's say a person cooked some corn on the cob, and then they realize that it's Pesach. You can't eat the corn on the cob. So he put away the corn in the refrigerator. He eat it after Pesach. There's no bal yirah b'imatz. Sure. The shayla is, can you cook chicken in that pot? So whatever you're going to cook, you're going to have roiv against. However much you're going to cook in the pot, roiv for sure you're going to have. You usually don't have shishim in the food that you cook in the pot. Kenega de doif nehakdeva. That's very rare to have shishim. Once in a while in the big factories you have a room. You have a container that's the size of this room, and the walls are not so thick. So then it's very possible to have shishim in the food that's contained in a pot. Kenega the volume of the doif nehakdeva. But not on an industrial level, on a private level, it's very rare that you're going to have shishim in the food kenega the dirt neck there. But roif, you're probably always going to have. It's very far-fetched. You're not going to have roif. Very far-fetched. Also, in an industrial setting, there are cases where they have pasteurizers where there won't even be roif against the thickness of the wall. But that's in industrial settings. In a normal case, you always have roif. So the shaila is it permissible to cook my chicken and the pot that I just cooked the kidney is by mistake? So the Shach writes in the second Chelik Yeruday, he quotes a tshuva from the Maharal Bach, from Rabbi Leib Ibn Chabib. The Gemara says on the last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah that min haTorah you only have to kasha kelim if the kli is ben yomo. Once the kli is ein ben yomo, lo asa Torah l'kedera bas yadim. Once the kedera is ein ben yomo, so then there's no concern of the treifas because there's no time with God. Sure. So it's only gzera derabam, you have to kasha kli shein ben yomo. Gzera ein ben yomo, atem ben yomo. You may make a mistake. So there is a question whether that gzera ein ben yomo, atem ben yomo only applies to Yisurim deraisa, or even applies it to Holiness in the first place was only the Rabbanah. So the Shach writes, it does make a difference. Shach, but only has two lines. He writes, this Gzera the Rabbanah, you're not allowed to cook in a treif of pot that's Eina ben Yomo, Ota ben Yomo, does make a difference whether the treif of pot to begin with in the first place was also because of Nisa the Rabbanah or Nisa the Raisa, it's still a Gzera Eina ben Yomo, Ota ben Yomo. The Rabbi Yehuda has a tshuva where he disagrees, but the Shach didn't prove it. He thinks that by Nisa the Rabbanah, it'll be a gzera l'gzera. How can make a gzera? Not allowed to use a pot in which I cooked the nisa derabbanon. And a gzera ain't a ben yom, at the ben yom. A ben yom, a goof is only awesome derabbanon. So to prohibit ain't a ben yom is not a gzera l'gzera. That should not be allowed. But that's a machlokes again. The Shach and the Nadi Bihudu, Rabbi Shlomo Eger on the side of the every day, refers you to that Shuvas Nadi Bihudu who disagrees with the Shach. If l'chatchil I cooked a treif Michael derabbanon, Treifma the Rabbanon in a pot, is there a gzeira ain't a ben yom, ata ben yom. So even the Shach, who says lahachmer, that the gzeira ain't a ben yom even applies to me, he said the Rabbanon, but the Shach himself would be mekel, he writes a maral bach, a blebi mechabiv, has a tshuva, that if the treifma food that you cooked in the pot in the first place was only treifma taminik, so then you don't have a gzeira ain't a ben yom, ata ben yom. So let's say by mistake, I remember a person called me up, that the husband came home from wife from work on Chol HaMoed, and the wife tells him, look darling, she made corn on the cob. So the husband got all upset. What do you mean? It's kidneys. How can you make corn on the cob? So he's ready to divorce his wife. He's so angry. So he called me on the phone, what should he do? So I said, you put away the corn on the cob, it's not, there's no by right by matzah, you leave it after Pesach. The pot says in the Shach that you should wait till it's Eina Ben Yomo, and then you don't have to kasha, then you can use it. The Gzeira Eina Ben Yomo, Ata Ben Yomo, according to the Nadi Bihur, only applies to Nisa Deraisa. Shach holds even applies to Nisa Derabbanan, but it doesn't apply to Nisa Minik. Kidneys is only Minik, so you just have to wait till it's Eina Ben Yomo. But Kozman, that it is Ben Yomo, you're not allowed to use the pot, even though we know for sure with our eyes closed that they're going to be rov against the Bliya coming out from the pot. You won't have Shisha, but you're always going to have rov. And the Ramah says that rov is sufficient. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to cook in a pot that's Eina Ben Yomo, even though you know in advance you're going to have rov. Traditionally, the practice always would be that even though Ashkenazim don't eat kidneys, but if it's a Shnaz Batzoris, if it's a Shnaz Rav, and there isn't too much to eat for Pesach, so then traditionally the Rabbanim would gather together and they would make an announcement that this year you're permitted to have kidneys for Pesach. Some Rabbanim were opposed to this practice, but that's a generally accepted practice. And whenever it's a Shnaz Batzores, so then we're Mekel on the Rabbanim should gather together and they should be Mekel on the kidneys. Yaakov Herzog wrote an autobiography. So he writes the way his parents met. So he writes that his grandfather, Rabbi Hillman, was a dayan in London at the time, and his father, Rabbi Herzog, was a rav in Ireland, he was single. There was a Shnaz Batzores, and I think this is how his autobiography begins. He wants to explain why he was named Yaakov David, Yaakov Herzog. So he says he was named after the Ritva. So he starts telling the whole story. So he says that his grandfather, Rabbi Hillman, his mother's father, thought that it's a Shnaz Batzores, they should gather together all the Rabbanim to be Mekel on the kidneys. So he sent out letters inviting all the Rabbanim to come to his home. So they were all there. And he asked his daughter, Rabbi Hillman asked his daughter Sarah, she should serve tea to all the Rabbanim. So she came into the room and she saw Herzog. And he was a bachur. It was noticeable that he was single and the others were married. And she was so excited over him, it was love at first sight. So by accident she poured the tea on his trousers. And even though she poured it on his trousers, it was love at her first sight from his mitzido also. So he also liked them. So they got married. So Rabbi Herzog married the daughter of Rabbi Hillman. Rabbi Hillman had learned in Telz. He, at that time, he wrote Svarim. He wrote Rora Yosha. it's the Mar Mikaymas on Shas and Rambam and Yerushalmi. Mar Mikaymas on Kol HaTorah Kulam. So that's how he starts off in the book. And then he says he was named Yankov David after the Ritvaz because his father had gotten smicha from the Ritvaz. It tells also a whole story about that. So traditionally, that was the practice, that every so often when there would be a big Shas Adchag, there would be Mekel on the Kittis. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out in the name of Rav Chaim that the Rambam writes in Hilchas Mamrin that the Bezen has the right to make any Gzera de Rabbanon that they want. The Torah authorizes the Chachamim to make a Gzera de Rabbanon. Either there's a Dina Bal Toisif, you're not allowed to add on Dinim to the Torah. So the Rambam says, the Rambam writes, if the Rabbanim will prohibit something and pass it on, fool the public as if to believe that it's a Din D'Oraisa, then there'll be a violation of Bal Toisif. But if they make a Din D'Rabbanon, they tell you it's only a Din D'Rabbanon, that there's no violation of Bal Toisif. That's what the Rambam writes. Perik Beis in Hilchas Mamre Halacha Tes. Hoyel v'yesh lebezen ligzer v'lesa dovra mutav yamin yisur l'der z'chayesh lam l'hatar yisir tel afisho. Ma'u zesh yisir ator bal toisif. So he says, you're not allowed to add on to present it as if it's a din d'oraisa. But if you say, let's say, basa b'cholav d'rabbanon, psari b'cholav is d'rabbanon. So if you say that it's an isa d'oraisa, then you're a violation of bal toisif. If you say, min ha-toyra, chicken and milk is mutav, we're making an isa d'rabbanon, so then there's no bal toisif. So it's a strange Rambam. If you fool the people into believing that it's a din d'oraisa, so that's an isa sheker. Why do you write that? That's an isa bal toisif. It's a different isa, not to tell a lie. Then the Rabbit is masik on the Rambam. Yeah, kolela yisa haruach. He's wrong. He says, ridiculous what the Rambam writes. He says, the rabbis have a right to make exer the Rabbanon and to fool the people into believing that it's an isa d'oraisa also. He says, that's what they did all the time when they made an asmachta. What is an asmachta? You fool the people into believing that it's an isa d'oraisa. So we don't understand neither the Rambam nor the Rabbi. What the Rambam says is an isa to fool the people into believing that it's an isa d'oraisa. That's an isa bal toisif. That's an isa sheker. And the Rabbi holds it. A lot of fool of people. So what are they fighting about over here?
But you know, we say that every time that we make a tzaddik, it's called to take the king d'oraisa.
I mean, by making cane d'oraisa, that will fudge the lines of the din
d'oraisa.
That's an interesting question. I don't know. But here we don't understand this Rambam. The Rambam says that there's an isa to fool the people into believing that it's an isa d'oraisa. That's it. That's not an isa baltoisif. That's an isa sheker. And the Rabbi holds you a lot of mishaker. The Rabbi holds that's why you write an asmachta. Very strange. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said in the name Rav Chaim. He doesn't think that that's what's going on here. He thinks the Rambam does mean, neither the Rambam nor the Rabbi mean to fool the people into believing that it's an isa d'oraisa. The Rambam meant to say, when you make a din d'rabbanon, you're not allowed to be machmer on a din d'rabbanon to the same extent as a din d'oraisa. And if you're machmer to the same extent, so then you're in violation of bal toisif. And then he added on, that just like a din d'rabbanon is not allowed to be instituted on the same chomer, same level of chumer, as a din d'oraisa, a minik, also you're not allowed to be machmer on a minik to the same extent as on a din d'rabbanon. That would also be a violation of bal toisif. That's why Rav Chaim said that if you have the Chumra of Kitnius, if you have a Shnas Batzaris, you have to be Mekel. He felt like those poskim, there were always some poskim who were unhappy about that. They felt you shouldn't be Mekel. They said Rav Chaim held that you're Mechuyev to be Mekel on Kitnius b'Shnas Batzaris because of this Rambam. And he thought that that's what the Gemara says. B'dikas Chamiz the Rabbanon, Hemnu Rabbanon b'de Rabbanon. The Gemara Pesachim d'Avdalanam in base. The Gemara says, Kotn is Neman, B'dikas Chamiz, and Anisha is Neman. The simple reading of the Gemara is that Eidecha Neman Misurim doesn't apply to women. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. Under the level of Anisha, there I say Eidecha Neman Misurim will not apply to women. We always rely, all the time we rely on our wives, on our mothers. My wife gives me food and I trust that she didn't buy it in the AMP. I trust that it's kosher food. So you see, you do say Eidecha Neman Misurim by women. So we spoke about it when we learned at the beginning of Gittin. So this Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Dalet and Beis sounds like it says, the simple reading, Eidecha Neman Misurim does not apply to women, it does not apply to Ketanim, but by B'dikas Chametz, which is only the Rabbanon, Hemnu Rabbanon Midi Rabbanon. Why so? So the Rabbi writes there in his commentary on the bottom of the Rif, that the Chachamim felt compelled to be Mekel on Adin the Rabbanon. You're not allowed to be Machmer on Adin the Rabbanon to the same extent as on Adin the Reis. You have to be Mekel. So that's why Hemnu Rabbanon Midi Rabbanon. So that's how Rav Chaim explained the Rambam in Hilchas Mamre. He doesn't mean to say if you fool the people into believing that it's a din d'oraisa, he meant if you'll be machmer on a din d'rabbanon to the same extent as a din d'oraisa. And what is the hasagas arayvid? So here's a problem, astira and arayvid. So the Rav Chaim thought that that's what the Rabbi is saying. There's nothing wrong if you machmer on a din derabbanan to the same extent as one is machmer on a din deraisa. That's perfectly okay. Now, araya, the Gemara a lot of times makes an asmachta. They make a din derabbanan. The samchuhu lemikra, the kama duchti. What was the idea of being samchuhu lemikra? To be machmer, a din derabbanan that has an asmachta. So your machmer is sveika lechumr. Sveika derabbanan lekul only applies to an isra rabbanan that has no asmachta. You have an asmachta, then you say sveika derabbanan lechumr. So you see that the Ravid says other Ravid, it's permissible to introduce a Dinder Rabbanon on the same level of Chumrah as a real Dinder Rais. And there the Ravid and Hasav is on the Rif, right? It's not so. If that is the problem, it's the same person, it's the same Ravid. There were more than one Ravid, but these two are by the same individual. One who wrote Hasav is on the Rambam, the same one who wrote Hasav is on the Rif. So that is a problem. But that was the common practice in Europe. Whenever there would be a Shnas Batzores, practice would be that since Issa Kitnias is only a minig, so they used to insist on being nekel. They tell a story that, I think they tell a story about the Chidush Arim, that by the Hasidim they're makbed on Gibrox. Gibrox bedina the Gemara is muta. The Gemara says that when you have flour that was mixed with water and you baked it or you cooked it, so once it was baked and cooked and it didn't become chametz, it's not going to be bothered the chametz later on. So let's say you have a matzah and it was already baked, and then you take the matzah and you soak it in water. So the din is that if it's offer you mevushal already, that's the bottom of lametes and the base. Eru dvarim shomvanu de chametz offer hamevushal acholot shechol to beroskem. Anything that's mevushal or anything that's offer is not bothered the chametz. So this is medina de gemara. So the chassidim were concerned that in their lifetime, in the late 1700s, the way they used to bake the matzahs, the hand matzahs, they were afraid that maybe some of the dough in the middle of the matzah is still raw. Maybe the heat dried out all of the moisture, so it's not boli de chimutz now. Maybe it only baked the top and the bottom is brown, and the middle part maybe is still raw. But it didn't turn into chametz because the heat was enough to evaporate all of the water. So now if I'll take a piece of matzah and I'll soak it in a cup of water, a cup of tea or a cup of a bowl of soup, so that raw dough that was never really baked, now it'll come in contact with water and sit in the water and it'll turn into chametz. It's possible that it should turn into chametz. Only if it's already awfully mevushal, then it says, Eilu dvarim she'en b'adam teichim, it's awfully hamevushal. But the middle of the matzah maybe is not sufficiently offwee. Maybe in the days of the Gemara they baked matzah better. In the days of the 1700 they had amaratzim, they had almanis, they were not so learned in baking all the matzahs. We're afraid maybe the middle of the matzah was raw. And then maybe it's going to be bolid echim. So there's a sefer that quotes this practice that Rav Chaim Baldojan visited the Vilna Gaon, and he asked him about this chassidish practice, not the gebroks. So he wanted to demonstrate that he doesn't hold from this practice, so he put a knedel in the window. Everybody should know that he holds that it's okay, that you're allowed to eat knedel. That story appears in a sefer which is not really that prominent, a sefer. I think it's called Afike Yehuda. He was a rav in some little village somewhere, his father was a rav somewhere, and his father paid the Nachlas David to learn Mecharusa with his son. So they were learning together, I think, 3 years. They were going to finish all of Shas. So they were supposed to learn all of Zeraim in 1 week, all of Zeraim in 1 year, all of Moed in 1 year, all of Zeraim Moed Nashim. Going to learn Nashim in the 3rd year. So he says, by the end of the 3rd year, they got bogged down. They never finished Zeraim at the end of the 1st year. They never finished Moed at the end of the 2nd year. And they were in the middle of Nashim, and Nachlas David got a letter from Rav Chaim Baldojan that he wants him to come back to the yeshiva to give shiurim in the yeshiva during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Baldojan. So that was the end of their chavrus, because his father was paying money to the Nachlas David of David Tevel that he should learn with his son. So the son writes this in the introduction to his sefer Afiki Yehuda, and he writes that he had a good head. He thinks he had a good head, but he said the Nachlas David knew how to learn better than me. And he says the reason why was because he was born in Minsk, I think, which was closer to Vilna than the village where I was born. So the Derech Halimon of the Vilna Gaon had already spread to Minsk, to that village. And therefore, the Nachlas David had learned better than me. What was the Derech Halimon of the Vilna Gaon? So he describes it. The Derech Halimon was that first you learn the Gemara, then you learn Shulchan Aruch. As opposed to the Chassidim, as opposed to the common practice was, you would first learn Shulchan Aruch and then afterwards learn Gemara. So if you learn the Shulchan Aruch before you learn the Gemara, you totally misunderstand everything that's going on. By the Hasidim, by in Satman, they still do like that. Others, they don't learn anything. But even those Hasidim who do learn, let's say in Satman, they have little kids before Bar Mitzvah, they're learning Hilchos Shabbos with the Magen Avraham. They never learned Masech HaShabbos. Magen Avraham is talking about Marshos. So if you don't know the Taisus, you don't know the Marshos. I don't know what the Magen Avraham is talking about. The Shach is talking about Marshos. So if you don't know the Gemara with the Taisus at the Marshos, how do you understand the Shach? So they'll learn, the little kids, they'll learn Yeridei with the Shach. They'll learn Arachayim with the Magen Avraham. And they never learn the Gemara. So you have to reconstruct, you have to imagine in your mind what's going on. So you look on the bottom of the page in the Machzah Shekel, you look at the Prima Godin, and they'll reconstruct a little bit. Then, 5 years later, when you learn the Gemara, you realize you have everything all cut, everything is incorrect, and you have to start relearning everything from the scratch. So that's what the Vilna Gaon said, you have to learn in order. First you have to learn Tanakh, then you have to learn Mishnah, then you have to learn Gemara, then and only then do you learn the Shulchan Aruch. So that's what the author of this Sefer writes. He writes that the Nachlas Dov knew how to learn better than me, because he learned on the new Derech of the Vilna Gaon, everything in order, first Gemara, then Shulchan Aruch, and I learned still with the old Seder. That you first learn the Shulchan Aruch and you don't understand, you misunderstand everything, then you learn Gemara. So that Sefer is not so well known, this Afik Yehuda. He's known because of this line. He has Ha'oris on all of Shas. A few Ha'oris here and there, and every Masichta. Not such a all of Shas, thinner than his Gemara Gittin, thinner volume. So this is one of the stories that he has in this Sefer there. Chaim Volozhin went to ask the Vilna Gaon about the Gebrox, and they go and put a Knedel in the window. That's the source of that. So the story is told that by Hasidim, they're very makbid not to have gebrochs, they consider it as if it's chametz. So Balabasta once had a shaila, the little piece of matzah fell into a big pot of soup that was cooking on the fire, and the gebrochs. So the Balabasta quickly took out the piece of matzah and she threw it out in the garbage. So then the shaila was whether she's allowed to eat the rest of the soup, because chametz b'pesach is b'mashehu. So maybe the gebrox turned into chametz and it doesn't even help if you have shishim. So supposedly they asked the kedusha harim. So he said no. He says we're only machma chametz b'masha. We're not machma matzah. Matzah is not b'masha. Only chametz is b'masha. I would have said the same. Even the Hasidim who have the meaning not the gebrox, but the eighth day of Pesach, Achron Shel Pesach, they are makel bedafke on principle to eat gebrox. Why? They don't want their chumrah to serve as a kitrug on the rest of Klal Yisrael. They're machma not to eat gebrox, and the Misnagdim are eating the Vilna Gaon, the holy side of the Vilna Gaon is eating gebrox, and maybe the Bezon Shalmaila will punish the Vilna Gaon for eating gebrox. So they want to demonstrate that Mikradin, it's really Mutta Baharaya, and Achron Shel Pesach, they eat the gebrox. It's only a chumras, and no one should be punished for not observing this chum. That's the rationale. This whole idea that whenever you have a chumra, so you don't observe the chumra on Achron Shel Pesach on the last day, this appears in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber quotes a practice not to eat dried out fruits on Pesach unless they were dried out on the Hashgacha. Even though, what did they do? Raisins. They just, the guy years ago. Now they make raisins, they put the raisins on a conveyor belt and they put it in an oven. And in order that it's not dried out by putting it on the roof. They put it in an oven. And in order to prevent the raisins when you dry them out, so some of the juice is going to ooze out. And it's going to stick, a lot of the raisins are going to stick at whatever fruits you're drying out. So a lot of the fruits are going to stick to the belt, to the conveyor belt. So in order that it shouldn't stick, so it's a common practice that they'll spray on a release agent. They'll spray something onto the belt that it shouldn't, nothing that you put on it should get stuck to the belt. A lot of times that release agent is mamash chazal shmaltz. So that doesn't have to be listed in the ingredients, in the table of ingredients. Is that an ingredient? They didn't intend to mix that into the food. That's on the conveyor belt. It happens that all the fruits and vegetables that are dried out on this conveyor belt are going to have this stuff on the surface, on the outside. But that was never intended to be an ingredient. So it could well be that a lot of dried out stuff is mazim, mamish, has trefes. It's not going to help. It can't say bottle b'shishim over here. It can't say bottle b'shishim, bottle b'rav. It's b'yen. Bottle is only if there's a tarug. It's here. If some of the release agent is treif, and some of it is stuck to the outside of the fruit, then it's going to be considered the treif is the end. So by us, you really shouldn't eat anything that's dried out, any dried out fruits, unless it has ashgacha. But years ago, they didn't have this trick to have a release agent. They just used to dry it out on the roof. So what's the shaila? Maybe Andochi was eating some bread. Maybe Anachem was eating bread as he was taking care of it. Maybe some bread fell out, and maybe there's going to be something in. A far-fetched chashash. None of the customers would, like, well, wouldn't want to buy it either if it has breadcrumbs all over the whole place. No one would want to buy it. So the Shulchan Aruch writes such a meaning, not to eat dried out fruits on Pesach, but on Achmash on Pesach, then it is mutter. So pattern after the story with the dried out fruits, that's how they made this chumrah of Gebrok also. Not to eat Gebrok over Pesach, except for the Achmash on Pesach. If you have shishin. If you have shishin, it's mutta, yeah. But you go to your friend's house then?
And they eat kibros. So can I eat on a kid when you not eat
kibros? The shach is only mekel. That shach in the second chelik yeridei, the beginning of the second chelik yeridei, quotes a chubach from the Rablei Bim Chabif from the Maral Bach, he's mekel if the kli is ain't a ben yomo. But if they just use the ben yomo for gibrox, then the meaning is that you're not supposed to eat your soup in that kli. We would only be mekel if it's ain't a ben yomo. Whatever's only a minik, so there's no gzeir ain't a ben yomo at the ben yomo. But cause man is ben yomo, we would be ma. Yeah.
The only idea of being mekel.
No, not necessarily. Even if it's a din derabbanan, but they only had this as a chumrah. So they want the explanation was they don't want that their observance of the chumrah should serve as a kitrin on other Jews who didn't adopt the chumrah. So the principal will insist on eating gebrox on the last day. How much chumrah do you have to eat in order to get malchus? So there's a machlokes hatanoim. So Reb Shimon holds kol shehula malchus. If you eat chametz b'meizid, you chayv chatos. So in order to be chayv chatos, everybody means you have to eat a kazais. If you eat the meizid, in order to get malchus, that's a machlokes. We passing, you still need a kazais. That on the chatzis shiur, you're not like it. That's a machlokes of Yechem Eshlokesh, but the chatzis shiur is also manater, also manabonon. We passing chatzis shiur is also manater. Ruba, the Ruba of the post hold the chatzis shiur is also manater, even if it's less than Chatz Yishir not to be taken literally, less than Chatz Yishir is also Asman Atar, even a Mashur. What's the reason why there's no Malkus to feed a Chatz Yishir? So the reason why is because Ein Achila Plus Mikazayis. Chometz is only also Ba'achila, so also Ba'achila Ba'hanoah. Let's say Nevela is also Ba'achila Mutta Ba'hanoah. Ein Achila Plus Mikazayis. So you're going to eat less than a Kazayis. You can say if you eat less than a kazayis, you're getting hanoah from the chametz. Chametz is also banor, that could be. But forget about chametz, let's say nevela trefa, it's muta banor. But it's only also b'achila, so if you eat less than a kazayis, so you didn't do a ma'is achila, ain achila chus mekazayis. So that's a shayla, let's say I'll have a little bit of ham, less than a kazayis, on a bun. So the ham with the bun together constitute a kazayis, but there isn't a kazayis of ham alone. So that's a machloikin satanim, where the hetem in star felisa, or ain't hetem in star felisa. That's also a psochim in the third parish. And if you hold hetem in star felisa, which isurim do you apply? You don't necessarily apply for all isurim, which isurim would you apply this rule? So that's a machloikin satanim, where the hetem in star felisa and hetem in star felisa. Then there's a machloikin, Rashi and Taisus there. What is the meduber? Which case are we talking about where the hetem in star felisa? See, I gave an example. I have a bun with ham on it. And the ham is less than a kazayis. So let's say everything is cold. None of the ham was absorbed into the bun. Not that it was baked. Not that I heated it up in the oven with the ham on the bun. And the schmaltz from the bun permeates through the bread. No. I took out the bun straight from the refrigerator and the ham straight from the refrigerator. Everything is cold. And it didn't really get absorbed. So they still say in such a case, according to the Tana who holds hetem and star for the Easter, to constitute a kazayis that you say, it is, yes, it has an achila. Ein achila chutz mekazayis, but he ate a kazayis. Only part of the kazayis was isa. So would you say in such a case also hetem and star for isa? Or do you only apply hetem and star for isa if the isa was nivla into the hetem? To the extent that it was nivla into the hetem, so that hetem can be mitzvah for the isa. But to the extent that it was not nivla, then you cannot apply hetem and star for isa. So that, the Marsha points out, if you read carefully the Rashi and Tosfos, that's a machlokes. That's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. The Gemara has a memhe amar aleph. This is an important Gemara right before the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah memhe amar aleph. So the Gemara says right before the Mishnah. Even the Tana who thinks hetem and starch li iser, it only applies if you're swallowing the hetem and the iser of asahas. But if you swallow, if you eat the hetem, the iser tuch kedei achilas pras to each other. Let's say I eat a kazais of nevela. So I eat a half a kazais now, half a kazais later. But the two half kazais were eaten tuch kedei achilas pras within a short period of time. So that's the halacha mishnah. I say like that. If you tuch kedei achilas pras, that's considered as if you ate it of asahas. And you get malchus. What if I hold hetem and starch nisa, and I ate bread tuch kedei achilas pras of eating the chotzi shir of the nevela? So that the Gemara says the favorish not so. The only time you say not only hetem and starch nisa, even isa v'isa. The Gemara has a further machlokes. Is the Tana Rav Meir is of the opinion isurim mitzarf mzeim ze. If you eat a half a kazais of basa b'cholav and half a kazais of nevela. So you also get malchus, and we don't pass like that either. We don't pass on hetem and star from the iser and both the iser etar, and we don't pass on iser and star from zeh zeh. You have to eat a full kazayis of nevela or eat a full kazayis of bas b'cholov in order to get malchus. The only two iserim that are mitzar from zeh zeh, the Rambam writes on nevela or trefa, because trefa is tchilas nevela, so it's all called shem echad. But leaving out trefa and nevela, the Rambam passes that any iserim mitzar from zeh zeh. So the Gemara says even a bigger chiddush than what I said. Not only hetem mitzarf liyisa has to be only bivasachas, even isurim mitzarf mizemza according to Reb Meir, that if you have a kesayis of nevela and have a kesayis of basa b'cholov, mitzarf miyachad, that's only if you swallow them both bibliya achas, only bivasachas. But bizeach hazeh terkedei achilas pras, they will not be mitzarf. That's how the Gemara says. Isa the hetem has to be bivasachas. Hetem mitzarf liyisur has to be bebli achas, and if you hold like Reb Meir, I said it all wrong. If you hold like Reb Meir, the isur mitzarf mizem zeh, so that's called shem echad. So if you eat a half a kazayis of nevela and half a kazayis of basa b'cholov tech de'achilas pras, so then the Gemara says it will be mitzarf. Isur liyisur is even mizach hazeh, but isur hetem mitzarf liyisur is only bevasachas. So in that Gemara that isur hetem is only bevasachas. That's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. That's what the Marsha points out. So Rashi's opinion is the only time you say hetem and starf the iser is if the iser was nivla into the hetter. But if the iser is not nivla into the hetter, even if I swallow both bevasachas, you also don't say hetem and starf the iser. That's Rashi's shita. And the Marsha points out that the Rabbi Natan clearly disagrees, because the Rabbi Natan's opinion is there is machlokes Rabbi Natan and the other Balei Tosfos. If you paskin tam ki ikka deraisa, that's how you paskin. Let's say I have vegetable soup, kosher vegetable soup, and by mistake someone poisoned a little bit of chazah shmaltz, and you can taste the flavor. You have 51% of vegetable soup, less than 50% of chazah shmaltz, so it should have been bottled v'roiv. But when I taste the bowl of soup, so it tastes like chazah shmaltz. So the din is a tam ki ikka. So the din is at its also. So how much soup do you have to drink in order to get malchus? So most of the Rishonim say you have to drink so much soup that you know that you have swallowed into your system a full kazayis of chazash malz. And the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. If you swallow a kazayis of the taruvus, you already get malchus. Isn't that hetem mitzarf? So the Rishonim asks, that's hetem mitzarf liyisa. Why is that tam kiker? So Rabbi Natan holds no. Hetem and starf liyisa means if the iser was not nivla into the hetem. I'm eating a ham, a slice of ham on a bun. There's no kazais in the ham. But the bun with the ham together constituted kazais. And the iser was not nivla into the hetem. But whenever the iser is nivla into the hetem, you don't have to come out to the rule of hetem and starf liyisa. That's governed with the rule of tam ki iker. So the Rabbi Natama holds that Tam Kiker means that you loikan kazais menat arubis. So he's forced into assuming that hetem and starf liyisa even applies if the yisa was not nivla into the hetem. Hashem came Rashi and most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rabbi Natama. Their opinion is that even if you hold Tam Kiker, you won't be loike unless you eat so much of the tarubis that you know for sure you have swallowed kazais. So they're free to say, Rashi is free to claim, that the only time you'll apply hetem and starf liyisur is in the case where the isur was nivla into the hetem. When the isur was nivla into the hetem, so that part of the hetem that was balei the isur will be mitzarf with the isur to be mashmal to the shir. But whenever it's two separate things, even if you eat them of asachas, That's the shadow. And the Gemara says you only say hetem and star for the Issa if it's bebasachas, if it's beblia achas. It's not beblia achas, it doesn't apply. So what do you mean bebasachas? So the Tosfos, the Rabbein and Tam hold basachas. It doesn't mean that the Issa was nivlin to the hetem. No, if the Issa is nivlin to the hetem, then it's hetem. Then you don't have to come out to hetem and star for the Issa. Then it's tam kiike. And Rashi says not so. Issa is mitzarf hetem and star for the Issa bebasachas means. If the Isser was nice and tam into the Hetter, but if he's tam eating with Vasachas, Hetter and Isser, Rashi would say that it's not mitzdarish. So this Gemara on the Mehem and Aleph is important to keep in mind. When you look at the Mordechai, the last page in Psochim, we mentioned it already a week ago. Mordechai quotes Akasha from the Rishonim. Hillel used to eat three kezesim with Vasachas. So the Pashtus is one of the three gezeis in Pesach, Matzah, Maror. The 2 years since the Markacha, Yehillel, Oisav, Isman, Shem, Ismigdash, Kaim, HaYikorach, Pesach, Matzah, Maror, Vechal, Biyachah. That's what it says in most Agudas. And the Rambam's gives it was HaYikorach, Matzah, Maror, Vechal, Biyachah. The Chaykenkev on the bottom of the page in Shulchan Aruch points out some Achloikis, what the Gears is, the Rambam, the other Rishon. The Rambam writes Beferish, the Korban Pesach was not, even according to Yehillel, Korban Pesach was never eaten Bekricha, together with the Matzah and the Maror. Korban Pesach was always eaten separately. Rambam says that you dip the matz into acharis, you dip the mor into acharis, you dip carpets into acharis. The korban pesach you don't dip into acharis. Korban pesach you eat separately. Nobody holds that the Rambam claims. Nobody holds you eat the korban pesach the kriche, and no one holds that you dip the korban pesach into acharis. So according to the Rambam, it was only korach matzah mor. According to the other girsa, it was korach pesach matzah umoror. That's the famous girsa. The Talmud Yerushalmi says beferish like that against the Rambam. Talmud Yerushalmi and Challah discusses whether mitzvahs mevat lezu ezu. So that's the machlokes Hillel and the Chacham. Hillel used to eat Pesach matzah mor together bevasachas. Those are mitzvahs are not mevat lezu ezu, and the Chacham involved the mitzvahs mevat lezu ezu. You're not allowed to eat two mitzvahs together because you won't be able to eat them. So the Yerushalmi makes a comment that the only time the Chachamim would hold mitzvahs are mevat lezu ezu is Bizman HaMikdash, and you have three different things. You have Pesach, Matzah, Umaror. And Hillel says you eat all three together. That's the Yerushalmi Beferish against that Rambam. Hillel holds you eat all three together. So each one of them has 2-1 against it. The Pesach has 2 kezesim against the Pesach. The Mar has 2 kezesim against it. And the Matzah has 2 kezesim against it. So then the Chachamim hold that each one of them is batel beroiv, and you're not yet to anything. But Bizman HaZeh, that there is no Korban Pesach, so just eating the Matzah and the Mara together, so then the Yerushalmi says in Challah that the Tanoim, the Chachamim of Hillel would agree that there's no bitl, because it's Chad v'gabichat, it's not Chad betray. It's only going to be batel if you have Chad betray. So that's what the Mefarshim on the bottom of the page of the Yerushalmi pointed out, that Yerushalmi is beferish against the Rambam. Rambam says that even according to Hillel, they never did the Korban Pesach b'kriach, and Yerushalmi says that they did. It is a Mordechai, the last page in the Mordechai, where he's making an assumption regarding that issue. So he quotes a kasha. The Gemara says increases the ein beis adliya machzik yoisa mikibetz. You cannot swallow. You can only swallow tiny pieces. Let's say a person is eating Cheerios. He doesn't have to chew up the Cheerios. He can swallow a teeny weeny Cheerio without chewing it up. How larger volume can it be if you have big chunks? If you swallow, you can choke. So how large does the piece of food have to be that there's a concern that he may choke? So the Gemara says, if it's the volume of the kibetza, a kibetza, he says, is shnei kezesim, so ein beis adliya machzik yesim kibetza, so then the person is going to choke. So he's bothered with a kasha. He assumes that a beitza, a kezais is a chatzi beitza. He's assuming kezais is chatzi beitza, and kaicha yosei hilum is manchay beitzam ingdusha yikaim. Hilum used to eat all three together. Which all three together? He had to give us the three, not two. Which all three together? Said so the way it's printed by us in the Mordechai, he used to eat a kezais matzah, a kezais moror, and a kezais charoses. So he used to swallow three kezaisim of asachas. How is that physically possible? How come he's not choking? The Gemara says, "Ain beis adliya machzik yotzei mibeitza achas." He says, "No, ain beis adliya machzik yotzei mibeitza achas. If you have a hard-boiled egg and you didn't chew it up, so you're going to choke if you swallow a whole egg. The beis adliya is not machzik a beitza, larger than a beitza. But the Gemara is talking about a case by Hillel. He chewed everything up. Once you chew it up, so you can swallow even Yaseh Nikebeitza Bevasachas. That's the way it says in our Mordechai. He's going to swallow matzah and moror and charoises. Matzah, moror, charoises. Each one of kezayis. And it's not going to be a problem of choking, because you only choke if it's the unit is Yeshlama Hanimin Gishel Shalem, if he eats without chewing. Av Gishul Merusak, but if it's all chewed up into tiny particles, Matzik Tvei. The Beisach Liyah can be Matzik more than a Beitza Bevasach. So it can be Matzik three different Kizaisen, which is a Beitza Matzik. That's the Mordechai. So they have in parentheses in the Marta, that part we discussed. What are the three kezaisim that he's eating that constitute 1.5 beitzim? Kezais matzah, kezais mor, and the kezais charoises. So who ever heard of eating charoises? A mitzvah tita kezais charoises. So that's what they corrected. No, they should say kezais pesach, kezais matzah, kezais mor. The third kezais is not kezais charoises, but rather kezais of the korban pesach. So the Truma Sadeshen, okay. So the Truma Sadeshen raised the question over here. Why does the Mordechai raise an issue of swallowing three kezesim bevasachas? And the Gemara says that that's unhealthy. The guy swallowing a beitza machzeh one time. Who says that he has to swallow it all bevasachas? Let him eat a little bit at a time, as long as he swallows everything, terke de achilas pras, of the original achila. So the Shemesh Adeshin says, from this Mordechai you see, that even though b'diyeved if he ate the kezayis matzah, kezayis marah, terke de achilas pras, from the beginning of the achila to the end, is not more than achilas pras, so he eats a b'diyeved, but l'chatchila, more correct is, he should swallow everything b'vasachas, the whole kezayis b'vasachas. That's why the Mordechai was bothered with the kasha. If you're going to do like hilo kachal yaseh hilo, ikarach pesach matzah mor, three kezesim of asachas. So how can he swallow everything of asachas? That's impossible. How can you do the mitzvah min anufcha the lachatchila? The Mordechai answers that you can. If you have a hard boiled egg, that's a dove shalim, that you can't swallow a whole egg. But once you chew it up, then you can swallow the whole thing. So this is quoted by the Magen Avraham. This Krum Sadesh is quoted by the Magen Avraham. The lechatchila more correct is that you shouldn't eat a little matzah and swallow a little matzah, swallow a little matzah, swallow. You should chew up a kezayis matzah and save it in your mouth, and then you should swallow the whole kezayis bevasachas, because that's a mitzvah min amufchim. So that's what they quote. B'shem Rab Chaim, he thought that didn't make any sense. This Truma Sadesh. Why? If there's halacha l'moshe b'Sinai that says that terke de achilas pras is considered as if he ate it the vasachas, so why should he eat the lechatchila? To swallow literally the vasachas, but he didn't the Truma Sadesh prove it from the Mordechai. If you hold that it's permissible to eat terke de achilas pras, so where does he come off to ask a kasha? What does the Mordechai ask a kasha bechlal over here? That assuming that the person who eats the korban pesach matzah mor all three kedeis and the vasachas is going to succeed in doing that. Maybe he ate a terke de achilas pras. Eat a little bit now, a little bit later, a little bit later, and everything will be terke de achilas pras. So that's the Truma Sadeshin's right. You see, from the Mordechai has to be bevasachas. So Abchaim answered no. Just like the Gemara says that Isa the Heter Amen Mehemar Allah. The Gemara said Isa the Heter are not mitzdarfim. Even if you all had to mitzdarfli Isir, that's only if it's bevliya achas, mamish literally bevasachas. But if it's bezeh hazeh, even though it's terke de achilas pras, so you have no right to apply the rule of terke de achilas pras. Terke de achilas pras can only be mitzarif nevela to nevela, chazet to chazet, bas becholof to bas becholof. It can't be mitzarif heter to is. It cannot be mitzarif heter to is. So that's Rav Chaim said. That's what the Mordechai was assuming. Hillel wants to be yotzei kriche. He wants to eat Pesach, Matzah, Mor, all three together. According to the old years, he wants to eat Matzah, Mor, and Charoises all together. So, they're three different things. Matzah, Mor, and Charoises. Pesach, Matzah, Mor, three different things. So there, of course you can't eat Terke de Achilas Pras. Terke de Achilas Pras only helps A matzah with matzah, mara with mara, korban pesach with korban pesach. But to be mitzar pesach, matzah, mara, three different things. Tok tachilus pras mazdem and emar. Just like the Mara says that tok tachilus pras doesn't apply, that you should have the right to say hetem and star v'lisa. That's how Rav Chaim was matched this hechacha of the Truma Sadesh. Magen Avraham quotes this from a Sadesh, and that l'chatchila should swallow everything but bli achas. Rav Chaim said he's not so convinced that it's correct. Gemara says on Daf Mem, we spoke about it a little bit. Gemara says on Daf Mem, a machlokes whether you need shmura mishas ktsira or it's enough with shmura mishas lisha. So lachatchila we're machmer to have shmura mishas ktsira. If you can't get it, so you say a bracha on the shmura mishas lisha, because all of the matz, all the pshutas in America are well made. That was a policy that the rabbanim adopted 80 years ago when they started the matzah factories in America. That they bake all the pshutas, they baked all the matzahs lishma. Because many people over America are not going to buy shmura matzah, they're going to buy regular matzah for the Seder. So the dinners has to be nasa l'shmo, has to be shmura. So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and Rashi, what does it mean shmura? So Rashi in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it. The Rambam says, shima mi chimutz, v'shmartem es al matzah, shima mi chimutz, to wash that it doesn't become chomet stick. And Rashi learns shmura means asiyo l'shmo. So the shaila is, according to the Rambam, that it's shima michimutz, so you need shmura matzah all the 7 days of Pesach, all the 8 days of Pesach, that's what it's all about. According to Rashi, you only need shmura for the Seder. Because for the matzah's mitzvah, that you're going to be eating the mitzvah, it has to be baked lishma. But the rest of Pesach, it's not a mitzvah to have matzah. So you don't need the asir lishma. Pashtus is that the whole din of shmura means asir lishma. And only applies on the matzahs that are used by the Seder. That's the Shaila. The Rambam learns that Shmura means Shimim Mechimutz, so should apply all of Pesach. So the Magen Mishnah Taka says, Enachana, according to the Rambam, Chatchila is supposed to have Shmura matzah, all Pesach. It's not that there's an Isser to eat non Shmura, there's a mitzvah to eat Shmura. And it, by the Seder, we assume it's Li'ikuvah. So if you only have one kazayis of Shmura, the Gemara says you should save it to the end. The Gemara has the brisa, "B'tzeker shol nochrim, adam malik reisa v'hem bat sheyochel kazayis matzah ba'achrona." If you have dough that was made by nochrim, so the nochrim make it, it's not shmura, so you can eat it on Pesach, but you have to eat the kazayis of shmura at the end of the meal. So we usually learn the pshat: why is it not shmura? Because the nochrim can't create the shmura. Nochrim had died to the nafshik covered like the Gemara and Gittin. Pshat is the Rambam does not learn like that. So what is the Rambam calling to Ram? Why isn't it shmura if it just means shima mechimutz? So how can you ever eat b'tzeker shal nochrim? So the answer is someone watching. There's a religious Jew watching when the nochrim is making the shmura matzah. So why can't you use it for shmura matzah? Shima mechim mechimutz. So you have to add on. Ein on there is a lashon in Gemara Chagiga that the Meiri quotes over here on that man. Ein odom meshama mashav yad chaveru. I can only do shmira on something that I'm in charge of. But if the nochrim is in charge over here, the Nachri is harvesting the twill, the Nachri is grinding it up and making flour, the Nachri is mixing the flour with the water and so on, and there's a Mashgiach watching, so that's the Loshon HaGemara, Chagigit, Ein Odom Meshama Mashav Yad Chaveiro, that's not called Shimon Mechimus. So the Rambam writes, if you only have one kazayis of Shmura Matzah, he quotes the Gemara, you should eat that at the end of the meal. You should eat that by the Avikamim, that's the Ikam Mitzvah's Matzah. And you can eat the tzeker shal nochrim from the beginning of the meal. So that why is it a lack of shmura? According to the Rambam, according to the other Rishon, you need to seal the shma. So nochrim is ain't a b'toros, they can't create the shma. But according to the Rambam, who seems to deny the whole existence of the din of seal the shma, just in the shina mechimas. So what's wrong if the nochrim made it? But someone must be watching. The answer is yeah, someone's watching. So in kasha hilchas kashrus, it's acceptable. In Hilchas Shmura, you can't say. You can't call the Shmura Masa because of the Klal, Ein Odom Meshama Mashav Yad Chaveiro. So that's the Shaila. According to the Rambam, he's supposed to have Shmura Masa all of Pesach. So what does it say over here? B'tzeker shal nochrim, Odom Malik Reis in the hand, Bat Sheyachal Kazayis Matzah B'acharenim. So how was the Odom Malik Reis in the hand? How does he eat them at the beginning of the meal? The answer is, it's not an Iser. It's not an Iser to eat Pshutas according to the Rama. It's a mitzvah to eat Shmura. It's a mitzvah to eat Shmura. If you're hungry and you want to eat more matzah, you only have a gezayis of Shmura that you're going to eat at the end of the meal. That was Meshumar, Michim, Shimar, Michim. The B'seker Shal Nochem is not Meshumar. So you're allowed to eat it. It would have been a mitzvah if you would have avoided it. It's a mitzvah to eat Shmura all the Pesach. That's according to the Rama. So that's a shala. How seriously do we have to take this Rambam? So the Chayyorim has a discussion. There were some people who would be mahad there that they ate shmur all the Pesach. They wouldn't eat pshut at all. They would eat shmur all the Pesach. So that was a shala in the days. The Chayyorim, that was a big chiddush. So that's a deal that the Chayyorim has, I think. Is that a minig shtus? You don't even need hatara? Or do you say no? It's a minig that's based on the Magen Mishnah's comment on the Rambam that the Rambam taka holds you need shmur all the Pesach. Today it became very popular. A lot of people eat shmur all the Pesach. They're makbid not to have pshutas all the Pesach. But years ago, that was under scrutiny that it's even binding mitam minig. Maybe it's a minig shtus.
Part of the grow would be kind of emotionalness, like the first night,
according to the grow, in kind of mitzvah kiyumas, the question is whether even with that mitzvah, you also need asiyah lishma. Or maybe I'll need asiyah lishma for the first night. It's unclear. He just invented a new mitzvah, so we don't know how we're going to deal with it. Like Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger's mitzvah, to look at the Haravais, we don't know exactly, look at the Azora. We don't know exactly how to deal with the details of this new mitzvah that was just born yesterday. All the other mitzvahs were born 3,000 years ago. And then I see that these mitzvahs, you don't know exactly how to deal with them. That's the problem. So today it's assumed that it's not a minig shtus to be makbet to eat shmura or Pesach. And they assume it's based on the Rambam Pshita. The Rambam holds that the Shimon Mechimotz, Shmura min Shimon Mechimotz, Hashem Mechimus is an Ishwar of Pesach. Meshe Chachma seems to understand according to the Rambam that even though Shmura min Shimon Mechimus, it only applies the first night by the Seder. It doesn't apply the rest of Pesach. It doesn't make any sense. Shimon Mechimus is the same by the Seder by the rest of Pesach. So he gives a whole explanation. He writes on Parshas Bo, on the Pasuk, Kishmarta v'shamarta v'suchu kazos l'may adam yami mi'amima, so the Gemara has a machlek is hataram, and he ended everything by the Shamarta v'suchu kazos goes, v'suchu kaz ha-pesach ha-kos v'daber, v'suchu kaz ha-tfilin. Does it go on tfilin? Yami mi'amima means daily, you should wear the tfilin every single day, mi'yami mi'amima, and then the Gemara says, mi'yamim v'lo kol yamim, Shabbos yantav, you don't wear tfilin, yamim v'lo leilos, you don't wear tfilin at night time, that's according to the time that v'shamarta v'suchu kazos. The Mayadam Yom Yamima goes on Tfilin. That's the Tfilin that we have, Yerotzmu Hanach Shinishmuchu Kechabo Elam Azeh. That's the Tfilin that we recite right before we remove the Tfilin. Because the Gemara says that the name Maravi used to say Bracha Lishmachuka before they removed Tfilin. They used to remove Tfilin at the end of the day. They wore Tfilin, Mizmanik Mother, wore Tfilin all day long. And then they had to take off the Tfilin Balayla because they were Shemata Zchukazos Mi. Yamim Yamim, Yamim Velalelos. You're not allowed to wear the tefillin at night. Since the pasuk says V'shamarta Zachuka, so that's why the Chachamim composed the Nusach HaBroche Lishma Chukov upon the removing of the tefillin. So we don't follow the Bnei Marove, and we're not taking off the tefillin B'sof HaYom when it's getting dark. We just take them off the tefillin. So that's why we don't recite that Broche Baruch HaTorach HaMakem HaChalom Shigashav HaTzor Lishma Chukov. We just say we say Nishmachukah because we're taking off the tefillin. Just like the Bnei Marava said, the Beis Yosef says Matzasi Kosel like that. Just like the Bnei Marava and Eretz Yisrael used to say the Brocha. Shekinishan Matzasi Yisrael Nishmachukah as they're about to remove the tefillin b'sof hayom in order not to be in violation of wearing tefillin b'alayla. So we recite the Brocha with the tefillin Nishmachukah. When we're taking off the tefillin, right before we're about to take off the tefillin. So on that pasuk, the Meshech Chachma has a comment. V'shamarta v'suchukah hazois, according to many Tanoim, goes on chukas ha-tefillin, not on chukas ha-pesach. And v'shamarta v'suchukah hazois means you should be boidik tefillin from time to time. And we can't omer chachamim that tefillin you should be boidik once in your lifetime to make sure that it's kosher. And the mezuzah, you should be boidek twice every 7 years. Every 3-4 years, you should boidek the mezuzah. So the Meshech Chachma has a whole discussion over there. So he says, you see that this is some post, he says, the Mishkan is Yankim wanted to derive from this mechilta, the Shamata, Sechukah, Zayz, Mikan, that you have to be boidek the mezuzah twice every 7 years. So you see that the rule that the Gemara has, when you have a miyotah matzoi, there's a chiyuv to do bedika, you see that that's a din daraisa. Rabban writes that it's only a din midirabbanan. If the roiv indicates that something is no problem, but there's a miyotah matzoi that indicates it may be a problem, let's say you shech the behemah, do you have to check to see that the behemah is not a trefel? So if we pass on halacha mas, you only have to check the lungs to see that the behemah doesn't have any sirchas on the lungs, and the other organs don't have to be checked. Even though there are 70 different trefes, 7-0, we only need bedikas hareya for the sirchas on the re. Manishtana, why you're only bedik for sirchas on the re? So that's the Ramban in Chulin, in the Chidushi Ramban, and the first Machamis in Ramban. So he says, because sirchas on the re are mir tamatzai, and all the other trefes are mir chena matzai. So that's the halacha mid the Ramban, and the Ramban says, whatever, there's a mir tamatzai, there's a chiv mid the Ramban to make a bedikah. So let's say he bought a jacket, he bought a suit that may or may not have sharpness. Now I say, if it's a miyotah matzah, you have to check for sharpness. You're eating a vegetable. If there's a miyotah matzah, that this vegetable may have worms in it, so then with the rabbanon you have to be bedik to make sure that you have no worms. But if it's a miyotah matzah, you're not mechayiv to worry. So Amish is miyotah matzah, so the pasuk says, Mishnah says 10% and above. Fine. So the Ramban writes beferish that this whole din that you have to be bedik when you have a miyotah matzah is only with the rabban. On the level of the rice, you're not mechayiv to be bedik even if it's a miyotah matzah. So the Achrayim ask Kakasha, how can the Ramban write that it's only with the rabbanon? But the Mechilta learns that from the pasuk that it's a din deraisa v'shamarta v'sachuk hazayis l'mayad miyamim yamim goes on chukas hatfilin, that you have to be bedik the tefillin twice every 7 years, every 3-4 years you have to be bedik the tefillin. So don't you see that you can't shtel up the cheskas kashrus? It's a dimin haTorah. You're not supposed to rely on cheskas kashrus. Hechadep shem mivdek bakinon, but I samchinon achazoket. You shouldn't be relying on achazoket that we checked it last time. Don't you see from the sifrei from the mechilta that that's a din deraisa? That's his kash. That's the Yeshua's Yankov's kash. That's the Mishkanah's Yankov's kash. So the Meshe Chochman says he thinks that there's a difference. He says, Tfilin, Bedikas Tfilin, you want to be bedik to make sure you yotze to the mitzvah. Bedika by the shatness or bedika by the bugs and the vegetables is in order to make sure that you're not violating aloi sesei. So he says, when it comes to aloi sesei, you're not mechayiv to be bedik. You shtal on the raiv. You have a right to follow the ruba, the leisa kama, the chazoke. That mistama, there are no bugs. And mistama, there is no sharpness. Most of the fruits don't have sharpness. Most of the vegetables don't have bugs. If it will turn out later on that you did eat a bug, that you were wearing sharpness, so einus rachmana patre. Since you had a right to follow the ruba de leisa kaman, so the fact that you were wearing sharpness for a while, the fact that you were eating bugs, swallowing bugs, doesn't count, because that's called einus rachmana patre. When it comes to a mitzvah, let's say tefillin and mezuzah, is a mitzvah to wear kosher tefillin and to have a kosher mezuzah on the doorpost. There is a mute possibility that over the course of time the mezuzah will get worn out because of the change in the atmosphere. Summertime is hot, wintertime it's raining, it's cold, it's snowing. So the mezuzah may get ruined in the air. The mezuzah may get ruined on the door. So you're mechuyif to be biting. So the mechilta learns out from the pasuk v'shamata asuchuk hazayis, the bedikah of tefillin, that's a din deraisa. How come the bedikah on tefillin is deraisa? The other one is the rabbanon. The bedikah for shatness and the bedikah for treifis. Why is that bedikah only rabbanon? So that's what the Meshech Chochman suggests. Maybe there's a difference between a mitzvah sesen and a mitzvah slay sesen. What's the din if a person was nenas and he violated an aver machnas oynes? So we have a rule, oynes keman deloy ovin. When a person did an avera, but it was done by oynes, so that doesn't count. We consider it as if it happened by itself. But what if a person failed to fulfill a mitzvah? Because he was an onus. He relied on the Ruba de Leisa Kamon that the facts are so. And then it turns out that the Ruba de Leisa Kamon didn't apply in this case. So it's not going to help over there to say he relied on the Rav and therefore he was an onus, and therefore it should be considered as if he was filming, as if he had kosher on his own. No. Oynes Kamanda Ovid Loyamin. Oynes, you only say Oynes is Kamanda Loyamin. What the person did be oynes is considered as if he never did it. But you don't say machmas oynes, it's considered if he did something. He didn't do, he didn't do. So the bedika and the tefillin and mezuzah, that would be a din deraisa. Because if you won't be bedika, just rely on the ruben loisa kamon, it'll come out that you just want yotze the mitzvah. But the bedika and the teloim, or the bedika for the treifis, that'll only be the rabbanon. The Ramban says it's only Rabbanon, so it's not contradicted from this Mechilta. This Mechilta requires Bedikah Min HaTorah, that's only by Miyat HaMatzoi, that's only by Mitzvah Saseh, not by a Mitzvah Loses. So that's the Shaila, that's what the Meshul Chachma said, that even the Rambam says that Shmura Matzah means, doesn't mean Asir L'Shma, it rather means Shema Michimu, and Lachari means Shema Michimu. So what the 7 days of Pesach, what's the difference? So he says, no, maybe you only need Shmura Matzah for the Kazayis by the Seder. The rest of Pesach, maybe even the Rambam agrees. It's not so clear that according to the Rambam, he's supposed to have Shmura Matzah all of Pesach. The Mani Mishnah says like that. But not so clear. So the Meshul Chachma says, could be the Rambam never said it. The rest of Pesach is just an Isur if you eat Chometz. So you rely on the Rubat Laisikamon that it's not Chometz. Mashenu came the first night of Pesach is a mitzvah saseh to eat matzah. So if it turns out that the matzah is Chometz, so it's by definition, it's not going to be matzah. It won't be yetzi anything. So the first night of Pesach, the halacha requires a shmarta mesam matzah shino mechimutz. If it's be Chometz, if it'll be Chometz, you'll have a violation of the aver that you're eating Chometz. So that's Ainus Rachmana Patra. But if it's Chometz, so it's not matzah, it won't be yetzi the mitzvah. So that's why you have to have shino mechimutz. Hashem can the rest of Pesach, maybe you don't need Shema Mechinitz, because the rest of Pesach is only an Avera. So on an Avera, you say, Oynes Keman Galoy of it, Oynes considered as if he didn't do it. I'm just walking to the yeshiva earlier today, I met someone, so I asked him, a single fellow, I asked him, where's he going to eat on Yom Tov? So he says, he's going to eat by himself. So I told him the Zohar has a comment. There's a Mishnah Megillah. Mishnah Beitzah, both Mishnahs, both the Mishnah has the same Mishnah twice. Ein ben yantuf l'shabbos elo echol nefesh b'lvad. So the simple meaning is that there's a heter echol nefesh on yantuf, but there's no heter echol nefesh on Shabbos. You're not allowed to cook food on Shabbos, but you are permitted to cook food on yantuf. So the Zohar quotes that Mishnah with a twist, it's the reverse. Echol nefesh b'lvad, about eating by yourself. So on Shabbos, echol nefesh b'lvad is mutter. You're permitted to eat all by yourself on Shabbat. On Yom Tov, Echol Nefesh B'Lvad is awesome. You're not allowed to eat by yourself on Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov there's a mitzvah of Simcha, and Simcha requires that you have to eat with other people. So he says, fine. He thanks me for telling him that. He's going to invite all the guests. Yeah, the union is that on Yom Tov you have to eat with other people. We left out a couple of things when we spoke about the Seder. The charoses is a machlokes hatanaim, whether charoses is a mitzvah, charoses is only for medical reasons. So if one should assume, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah assumes like our Blazer Reb Tzadik, that charoses is a mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, my mitzvah, what is it supposed to be all about? So the Gemara has three different opinions, either zecher l'tapuach, techas ha-tapuach ha-raticha, or Zechel Adam, all of the Jewish blood that was spilled by the Egyptians, or the Yerushalmi says Zechel Adam, Taisus quotes the Yerushalmi, and Daf Kufta Zayin and Aleph, or the other reason given by the Bavli is Zechel Atid, that they built all of those pyramids with all of the cement that they had, so we want the Charoshe should be Zechel Atid, should look like that. So what does it mean, Tachas HaTapuach HaRaticha, what is it, Tapuach? So I think I forgot to mention that tapuach in modern Hebrew is translated as an apple, but in the biblical Hebrew, the Tosfos writes in the end of Tainus that the word tapuach means a citrus fruit. And the Gemara says a beferish over here, that because you want to have zecher the tapuach, so the Gemara says tzarch lekuhuya, you have to have a sharp acidic flavor in the charoses that it should serve as a zecher the tapuach. So you see, even if you want to have apples, but you have to make sure that you squeeze in some oranges or pour in some orange juice, okay? You have to have that acidic flavor that should be the Zecher Tapuach. Then there's a famous discussion that the Shari Tshuva has next to the Ve'heitev. They need a Kazayis Moror for the Koirach. What's the issue? The Rosh and Davkuf in Arab Pesachim, the Rosh raises the question whether you need a Kazayis Moror or not. So the Rosh says, yes, he thinks he do need a Kazayis Moror. Why? Because he said the bracha, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvayisim, Tzivanu al achilas Moror, since he said al achilas, main achilas, b'chus mikazayis, so obviously you need a Kazayis Moror. So the Shagasari says, what do you mean? So why did the Chacham, if not for that, Nusach HaBracha, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvayisim, Tzivanu al achilas Moror, The Rush would have held, the Rush could have visualized that you can eat more or less than a kazayis. He's not bothered with the fact that achil pchus in the kazayis. Why? Because it never says in Chumash you have to eat more. Ait says amatzis semrarim yachluhu. No, yachluhu goes on the Korban Pesach. Yachluhu doesn't go on the mar. Amatzis semrarim in conjunction with matzis semrarim yachluhu the Korban Pesach. So it never really says to eat. It says barev tochel matzis. It says achila by matzis, you need a kazayis. It says gachlos habasa balayla zeh. It says achila on kazayis by Korban Pesach. It never says the verb achila on mar. So that's why the Rosh Hashanah sounds like the Rosh Hashanah's mikredin mori can be yetzer with less than a kazayis. The only reason why I need a kazayis is because of the bracha. So the Shagazai says, so why did the rabbis make such a bracha? Al achilas mor. Should have said al mitzvahs mor. Well, they make trouble for us that you have to eat a kazayis. If not, I mean, before they instituted the nusach bracha, there was no need for kazayis. Because the Chumash never says achila by mor. So why did they institute such a funny nusach bracha to require of us a kazayis? If mikredin is not needed, should have said al mitzvahs mor. So he doesn't like this rush. He doesn't understand what he's talking about. But then he just says, according to the rush, that the only reason why he needed a kazayis maror is in order that because of the nusach habracha alachilas maror. So on the koirach, when you're eating the maror together with the matzah, so you don't say bracha alachilas maror over there, and you already had a kazayis maror before, so there's no need to have a kazayis maror. It's good enough even a mashu habmar. So the Shari Tshuva quotes this from the Shagasai, that according to the rush, there's a possibility that you wouldn't need a kazayis mara for the korach. So the later Achrayim discussed this. So they thought that the whole thing was not correct. He said it can't be that that's what the Rosh is talking about. They all asked the kasha. The Mishnah says on lavatesh and aleph. The Mishnah lists off the five vegetables that can be used for mara. Then it says mitztarfim the kazayis. And enough in the Mishnah you need a kazayis. What do you mean the Rosh and Daf Kuf doesn't know the Mishnah and Daf Lamites that you need a kazayis? He's asking whether you need a kazayis and he's poshut, be poshut from the Mishnah and Daf Lamites. No, he's poshut from the bracha. Then you say, Al achilas mar. It doesn't make sense. So Rav Soloveitchik said the following pshat. Some of the Achrayim have like this. Rav Lei B'Shcharef has this pshat. He's the one who wrote 150 svarim and he said, whoever prints any of my svarim will have a refuah shleima. But whoever's sick, the people keep on printing more manuscripts from them. Very prolific. On every Mesichta he has five different svarim. So he has in his Haggadah, he has the same shot. The Rosh knows that for Mora Deraisa Avadi Nidi Kazayis. Self-understood. You're right. There is no verb in the Chumash. It never says Achila by Mora. It says Amatzah Imram Yachluhu LeKarben Pesach. Never says Yachluhu Mor, but it's self-understood. Mora is a mitzvah Achila. When Achila Pusum Kazayis doesn't have to say the verb Achila. The Rosh is asking Mora Bizman and says the Rabbanim. So what's the nature of Mora Bizman Azeh? Is the mitzvah Bizman Azeh Zecher L'Moror? So if it's only Zecher to the Zecher L'Migdosh, it's enough. If you have less than a Kazayis, maybe I should say that Midirabbanon they instituted Moror. The Mora Bizman Azeh is a mitzvah Mora Midirabbanon. So you do need a Kazayis. So you can't prove anything from the Mishnah Lama test. Mishnah is telling you what the din was Bizman Shabbos HaMikdosh HaYikayim. That mitzvah from the kazayis that they need the kazayis. How do you know from the Mishnah whether that still applies bizman hazeh? The Rosh El Safik was on the nature of the mitzvah mara bizman hazeh, whether it's a mitzvah mara or it's only a mitzvah zechel amigdusha. He was poshuted not for the nusach habracha, not because he say al achilas mara. Even if the bracha would have been on mitzvah mara, it would also have been on pshitas. The rai was if eating of mara bizman hazeh, the rabban was only a zechel amigdush, then there wouldn't have been a bracha period. You don't say a bracha with the whole nature of the mitzvah is only a zecher. That's what the Oruch writes. The Oruch asks a question, how come we don't say a separate bracha on koirach? Choykenke quotes this from the Oruch. How come you don't say a separate bracha on koirach? Shechem tzatzon al chilas kor. So the Oruch, I don't see what the kasha is, but there is no mitzvah to eat kor. The mitzvah to eat matz and the mitzvah to eat mor. So when it said the bracha on the matz and the mor, then it says in the mechaber, you should be careful not to talk in between the bracha and the matzah and the mar, and the eating of the kur. The kurach is possibly the correct way to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah and mar. I don't see what the kasha is. That's what it says in the Yorach. Yes, the kasha, why don't you say a bracha when you eat the kurach? So he says, kurach is only purely zecher l'migdash kehillah. So since it's a mitzvah to make a zecher, so on that you don't say any bracha. Why? Because there is no real maisa mitzvah. You only say a bracha when there's a maisa mitzvah. When you shake a lulav, when you eat matzah, when you blow shofar here, you're only you're only eating koyrach to reminisce and to remind you, to conjure up in your mind an image of Hillel eating in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. Zecher l'Mikdash kilo. So Zecher l'Mikdash, that's a mitzvah that you fulfill in your mind. It's not, you're doing a maisa, but the maisa is not really a maisa mitzvah. So that's what the Orach writes, that's why there's no bracha. So that's what the Rosh was mesupik. The sofik only was what he needed, because I smarter b'zman hazeh. Maybe Marav Bizman is purely Zecher l'Mikdash, it's only Zecher, so no bracha should be recited. So you don't need a Kazayas. So he says, no, if it would have only been, if Zecher l'Mikdash is the essence of the Takana, then you wouldn't have said any bracha. The fact that we say any bracha is a hechacha that they reinstituted with the Rabban in the mitzvah of Achilas Mar. So the Mele need a Kazayas. So it's not because of the Nusach HaBracha al Achilas Mar. So the Mele, even by the Kurach, also need a Kazayas. Not like the Shagasari. That's fair, that Shari Tshuva next to the Behetid, he quotes the Shagasari suggesting that according to the Rosh, he wouldn't need a Kazai Samara when you're eating the Kerach. We mentioned some of the Droshes, we didn't mention all, some of the Droshes the Gemara has on Lechemoni. One Drosha was Lechem Sh'onim Olav Dvarim Harpeh, you should have the Matz exposed when you recite the Haggadah. Then lechemoni madarke shaloni biprusa should be a broken matzah as opposed to a shleimah. Then the Gemara has matzah shira is not acceptable if you mixed in yain shem and dvash and cholov. Matzah shira is no good. A matzah gedoyla, if it's too big, it's not called lechemoni. Too large in size, not called lechemoni. Then the Gemara has another interpretation, another level of interpretation. In lechemoni madarke shaloni hu masik veishto ofo. You need. If a man is wealthy, so he can splurge, he can waste a couple of dollars. So the husband is in the office making a fortune, making another $1 million, and the wife will waste a lot of money on the oven. So the wife will first later kindle a fire, and she'll put in logs and it'll be burning, and extra logs will be burning, and then she'll knead the dough. And then after she finishes kneading the dough, then she'll put in the matzah and bake the matzah. And they will have burnt, they will have wasted a lot of fuel in burning the logs unnecessarily. But poor people can't afford to waste all that money. So when the wife is interested in baking matzah, baking anything, who masik v'ishto ofa? The husband asks his wife, when will you be ready to bake? She says, in 5 minutes. So he will prepare the fire so that in 5 minutes they'll have the fire shine. And then after she finishes baking, then they put out the fire and they save the logs, they don't waste unnecessarily. So just like Madaku Shalom, who masik the ishtoo, for the husband makes the fire, hasoka satanur, and the wife bakes the matzahs, so too, that's why we should all bake matzahs. Who masik the ishtoo? What exactly is the heder over there? So there's the Rosh quotes this. So there's a machloikis. The Gemara has it. Who masik the ishtoo? So there's a discussion in Rishon and Achronim. What exactly is the heder over here? Some say the heder is mitzvah bo yosim and bishlucha. You should do it yourself. That's why many people, Tamnei Chachamim, take off in the yeshiva and they go to bake matzahs. What are they wasting buying to? What are they wasting time to bake matzahs? There are people in the factories baking the matzahs. So you buy the matzahs. The answer is not mitzvah bo yosim and bishlucha. So what do you need a pasuk lechemoni? Wouldn't I have said on my own that the mitzvah bo yosim bishlucha? We have that's a universal klal. Mitzvah bo yosim bishlucha. So the answer is. The mitzvah is the eating of the matzah. The baking of the matzah is only a hechsher mitzvah. So maybe one could argue a point and say that you don't apply mitzvah bo yosim and b'shlucha. So that's why you need a pasuk to say, lechemoni hu masik v'ishto ofo, even though it's only a hechsher mitzvah, you still apply mitzvah bo yosim and b'shlucha. Taka what? So taka doesn't make any sense. Why? It's only a hechsher mitzvah. So that's the suggestion that the Netziv has. Whenever you have a hechsher mitzvah, hakasa batar, whenever there are details as to how the hechsher mitzvah has to be done, let's say plucking off the esregim from the tree. No one has a chumrah that you should pluck it off on your own. Or shearing off the wool from the animal in order to make tzitzis, strings of tzitzis out of the wool. That's not a midas chasidus, I should shear off the wool on my own. But whenever there's a hechsher mitzvah, hakasa batar, whenever the chumrah talks about this hechsher mitzvah, it says, v'yosa lahem tzitzis al kafi v'gdeim deroisim. The more learns that tasuk lemin osik, the tying of the tzitzis is spoken of in the pasuk. So the Netziv says the manufacturing of the strings, that you wouldn't say mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucha. You can rely on someone else. But to buy a beged and to tie strings, buy strings and to tie it together, then you would say mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucha. That's a hechsher mitzvah kasam atar. Or constructing the sukkah, the Gemara Darshan Schag Sukkah Tasa L'cha, And here it says about baking the matzahs, there is special dinim who masik the ishta oifor, since there is special dinim as to how to bake the matzahs, so that's a hechshem mitzvah kosav atur. That's the one pshat that he meant to say, that who masik the ishta oifor means that you apply mitzvah bo yosem b'shluchet, the baking of the matzahs, even though it's only a hechshem mitzvah, it's not the actual mitzvah itself, because it's a hechshem mitzvah kosav atur. Others say that the midas chassidus of who masik the ishta oifor is not so much the mitzvah boyas and mishlucha, but rather it should be done by mehiras. Just like the poor people can't afford to waste any money, so the husband is going to make the fire exactly the same time when the wife needs the fire, and then when she finishes baking, then he's going to put out the fire, so they'll have the logs will last twice as long, they won't be wasting energy unnecessarily. So that's what they say over here. You should bake the matzahs quickly, and that it shouldn't become chametz, it shouldn't be bolo de chimetz, that's what it means. It should be done by mehiras as much as possible. So that's why there are many who are medaktik, that if you have a choice of having either hand shmur or machine shmur, so many will insist afghan machine shmur, because the machine shmur is made much faster, much less time than hand shmur. The whole thing from the beginning to the end takes much, much less time. So that's some insist in that direction. Others insist in the other direction, that it's preferable to have hand shmur because you have to have a seal shmur, according to most of the Rishonim. So there's a question whether a machine-made matzah is considered an asiyah lishma. So that's an old machlokes in Europe, whether machine-made tzitzis, strings that are made by a machine, can that be considered an asiyah lishma or not? I left that one topic, it's too late, okay. I'll tell you what the kasha is. I want the teretz is complicated. I'll tell you what the kasha was that I never got to talk about. Today was everything out of order. The Gemara and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph has a machlokes about the chametz b'mashuhu. The chametz is batel b'shishim. And there have been a time, and the Shilpis Paskan and the Tesis Lamed Amud Aleph, chametz is batel b'shishim. There's no din of mashu. It doesn't exist. Chametz is batel b'shishim. So the kasha is, how can anybody say chametz is batel b'shishim? Shouldn't he require masayim? Chametz should require masayim. Because the Gemara says, learns out from the pasuk that truma requires meyah, and because orla kla kerem is twice as chomer as truma, truma is asa b'achila mutabano, orla kla kerem is kofa lisuro, it's asa b'achila asa b'ano, it's a kofa laliyosa. So we require a double amount for bitul. So since truma needs meyah, so orla kla kerem needs masai. So chomer b'pesach is also asa b'ano. We don't pass like Rabbi Saglili, chomer b'pesach mutabano. So since chomer b'pesach is asa b'ano, so why shouldn't you require masai? How come the Gemara just has a machlokes but the chametz b'pesach is b'mashu, the chametz b'pesach is b'shishim, there should have been a shita, the chametz b'pesach is b'masai. So there is a line in Rabbaran Alevi in the Ra'on, Berak HaBayis, it's probably a misprint, I should look at the new editions. He writes, there's a shita in the Gemara, the chametz is b'resh. Resh is masai. Resh with the pasuk. It's probably a misprint, probably should have said b'samach. There is no opinion in the Gemara, chametz is b'resh. Probably is a misprint, probably should say shishim. But that's the question. Why wasn't there an opinion in the Gemara? I think the Prima Gaudim has the question. Why wasn't there an opinion in the Gemara? The Chum should be the Masayim, the same as Arla Klakem. That's a complicated answer. Okay. Gotta save something for next lesson. Okay, have a good Niyandav, everybody.